You know, the weather temperatures may occasionally dip down into the 30s on Mauna Kea, but this summer, the topic of TMT, the 30-meter telescope, is still a very hot one. HBR's Kuve Hirishi joins us in the studio with more on that.
Yes, aloha, Catherine. Last week, we looked at sort of the emotional responses that folks have to seeing these images that are pretty much going viral on Mauna Kea, going viral on social media. So images of Kupuna getting arrested, but also just video of protesters sort of doing their thing up there. But for Native Hawaiians, these sights and sounds can sometimes serve as reminders of past injustices and triggering what the American Psychological Association calls historical trauma or cultural trauma. Spoke to clinical psychologist here in Honolulu, Robin Miyamoto, who's an assistant professor at JABSM at the John A. Burns School of Medicine, to give us an idea or explain this idea of cultural trauma.
So similar to if we think about post-traumatic stress disorder, somebody who's been through a traumatic event, a lot of times we think about military or somebody who's been injured in a sexual assault, those traumatic events impact their ability to take care of their health in the future. And cultural trauma is the same thing. It's just that that person doesn't need to have directly experienced that trauma. It can be something that happened to their kupuna, but has resulted in a loss, whether it's a cultural loss, a loss of land, a loss of power.
That's right. So it's the first instance that folks might think of, right, back in 1966, the first instance of research into cultural or historical trauma was a study done by a Canadian psychiatrist documenting high rates of psychological distress among children of Holocaust survivors. Right. So that was sort of the first instance into this idea that historical trauma could exist. But the field as a whole is relatively new and young. And so finding ways to sort of link cultural trauma or historical trauma to different aspects of health is something that folks over at JABSM have been doing at the medical school in terms of connecting cultural trauma to higher rates of chronic diseases or to behavioral health issues. So on the other hand of that coin, it's interesting. It's sort of like anyone who's experienced or whose kupuna have sort of experienced this loss, cultural or land or self-determination in that case, will kind of get triggered by seeing these images and by experiencing what's going on the Mauna. But also on the other hand, those who are in law enforcement or in, you know, on the other side of the coin, it's not just those that are protesting that experience this.
I think on the other side of things, besides the protectors, I'm also seeing people who are being asked to be there as part of their job, and they are Hawaiian, and whether they support the telescope or not, they are having to remove people who may be their friends or their neighbors or their family members, and it's causing stress for them as well.
So some of our psychologists have been putting together listening sessions, creating safe spaces for anyone really who's feeling a lot of stress from what's going on Mauna Kea to come and have a safe space to sort of air their frustration, cry in a safe space, get angry in a safe space, and kind of let that go, which is sort of the therapeutic side of what's going on. So Kiavika Holokula, professor and chair of Native Hawaiian Health over at the medical school, says there's an empowerment aspect to what's going on in the Mauna as well.
Things like this often are stressful and causes a lot of anxiety, a lot of oftentimes anger and frustration, because it's a social justice issue that we as Kanaka have been struggling with for a very long time in protection of our natural and cultural resources. On that hand, it's a reminder of the historical trauma. The flip side of that coin is this sense of empowerment, that it's allowing us to have a voice. It's providing us a way of venting our frustrations in a positive way that will hopefully, you know, lead to some significant advancements in our revitalization of our culture.
Fascinating.
It is, and it's interesting to see this play out, I guess, and watching folks who are engaging in kapu aloha. So this idea, this code of conduct where it's very disciplined, despite all that possible anger or hurt that one might have when they feel these triggers, when it comes to kapu aloha, when you're on that sort of battle line, they have to discipline themselves in a way that, you know, will eventually need some sort of outlet. So once folks, so Robin Miyamoto has been working with several individuals that have been making treks up to Mauna Kea and back and working with them constantly, whether it's FaceTime while they're there or when they come off the Mauna, to have that outlet to kind of let some of that go, because it's a very disciplined sort of code of conduct while you're up there.
Right, so it's kind of compartmentalization, but it is a very emotional issue, and then trying to deal with that stress and working through that.
Right. You know, it's exactly what it is. And Kaholokula, it was interesting to hear him say, you know, the idea of having possible routes for action. So being able to go to your rally in your community here on Oahu or on Maui versus having to go all the way up to Mauna Kea. Sharing something on Facebook, these little things that make folks feel empowered by this will help serve as some sort of therapy to this entire process.
But I can see, because we're just coming off of Statehood Day, Admissions Day, and there's a lot of things wrapped up in that. You know, how do you right the wrongs?
Right.
How do you deal with the reality that we have today in dealing with the political structure and the economic structure? But it's like those wounds, you know, there's a scarring, and those wounds are tender when these incidents, when the anniversaries come up.
Exactly. Those little triggers, as these psychologists were saying, are very much there. And it's opportunities like this to let some of that go and, you know, not have to hold it in for so long. That's really helping folks process it all.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Kuvehi.
Thanks, Catherine.
We've been hearing from HPR's Kuvehi Hiraishi, unpacking the baggage around Mauna Kea and the 30-meter telescope.